From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 17th, 2009. Each week, this podcast takes a look at location technology, GIS, LBS, and all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, editor-in-chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we take a sober look at the obstacles that prevent geo-startups from garnering their expected success. We'll tap into the lessons learned from the brave entrepreneurs that launched businesses in recent years and share what we've learned watching companies come and go. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Quickly get your imagery to the people who need it with ArcGIS Server Image Extension. For more information, visit www.esri.com/image.
Now, before we delve into this serious topic, I want to point out that I have an awful lot of respect for people who have technology ideas, who not only have them, but take them forward, get some investment money, start a business, and try to make it work. The three individuals that we're going to talk about today did all of those things, were unfortunately unsuccessful, but then they chose to share with the world what they learned from their experiences. And kudos to them for sharing, and we need to really learn what we can from what they've done as our geotechnology marketplace grows. So what we're going to do is take a look at three different companies. In each case, one of the founders has sort of looked back and shared what they learned about the rise and fall of their company. Now, the first individual is a fellow named Aaron Chua. He's from Singapore, and he started an LBS startup 2 years ago. He doesn't share much about the nature of the startup, but he does share five specific lessons. First off, you need to have at least one full-time founder. He noted that it's very difficult if everybody already has a full-time job to get anything going. He suggests that you limit customization because that can trap you, and if that one customer that demanded the customization doesn't play out, you can get into trouble, and that sounds like that's exactly what happened to his company. He suggests that you decide very early when to cut your losses. If you see things falling down, sometimes it's better to jump out early than to keep plugging forward. Number four, he says there is no business in location-based services. You should really learn about the economics of the technology that you're moving into before you get in too far. And finally, don't be afraid to fail. It sounds like he's gone on to bigger and better things, and in fact, his job is to give out money to startups. And he notes that many of the people who apply are people who have already failed many times over, and they're the people that are most likely to get money because they've learned some lessons. So which of those five sort of stick out for you, Joe?
I think those were really astute comments, and the one that really stuck out for me, I think was his third point, which more or less said, don't make a location necessarily the focal point of your startup. And I think what we've seen, and of course, you know, hindsight is 20/20. That many of the businesses that are succeeding now with some sort of location-based service may not have started with location as the premise, but then therefore co-opted the technology into their application. I think there have been very few that have used location as the foundation. I think, as we'll point out, Looped was probably one of them. I think the idea here is that location is one of those enabling technologies. It may not be or should not be the focal point of what your startup is about. So I thought that was a very astute observation. And then I think his other one, which is, hey, you can't just start this up in a garage. You really need some full-time people involved in this. How many people that we know said, well, I'm going to see if I can start this in my garage? That's not necessarily the best plan of action at this point.
No, I think that's true. And I think your comment about location sort of not being the focal point, being sort of an enabling technology that sort of takes advantage of something that already exists, is right on. Some of the most talked about technologies, at least today, and again, we have all kinds of benefit of hindsight, are successful exactly because they plug into existing structures. So I'm thinking, for example, of Fire Eagle and Brightkite, which are both sort of tools to share your location. Well, if there weren't cool places to share your location, oh, say, Facebook or Twitter, there would be no reason for those. So Yes, those took advantage of existing structures that had, in fact, already done the marketing and created a huge user base already that then want to tap into location. That's exactly what Google is doing with Latitude.
Right.
They paid Google Maps. They put Google Maps on the phone. Everybody uses it, says it's terrific. And now, oh, here's another little thing that you can do with those maps. You can share your location.
Yeah, I think everybody has to realize that we're now kind of in either the second or the second generation or the 2.5 generation of location-based services. What has seemed to be the most popular one, you know, navigation, is the most used application technology for location at this point. We're now seeing to see the second generation of applications being built on top, which is, you may want to point out, location-based social networks, maybe. I think there are other applications that are perhaps even more relevant, especially to businesses. That could be a tracking application. It could be a logistics application. So, you know, we're now moving into, like I said, kind of a generation 2.5 of location. And we're really yet to see any of those location-based social networking applications or location-based advertising applications really pan out.
Right. Well, your last comment is quite appropriate about the use of location-based advertising. So I want to move on now to Faneuil Media. Rick Burns and a colleague started that about 3 years ago here in Cambridge. And his first statement in writing about the shutting down of that company is that, quote, on a high level, Faneuil Media did not work because it aimed to be an advertising-supported content business, unquote. So they were depending on advertising, and in some situations, specifically location-based advertising, to pay the bills, and that was one of the challenges they ran into. Now, that company actually went through three phases, which he details. The first iteration was basically as a consulting company build Google Map applications, which they did. They were very successful. The New York Times and other big publishers paid them to build these really terrific apps. But that really wasn't what they wanted to do. So the next phase was building a platform, a free platform, for publishers to put maps on their sites. And that was also very successful. The challenge was that the money was to come from Google Ads, and there just wasn't enough click-through. The third way that they tried to restructure the business was with a tool called Nine Neighbors, and it was basically a tool to filter for local news. This sort of whole hyper-local focus, which had been and continues to be of great interest. He describes this sort of a dig for local. And that had really two challenges, he points out. One was building a community that would contribute the local content or point to it. And the second being the fact that local advertisers really weren't plugging into the net with advertising so much, but were using the web in different ways. So they were hosting blogs, and they were using Twitter and all these other kinds of things, but they really weren't keyed in on local advertising. Now, he summarizes suggesting two specific things that you need to think about. One is you always need to ask who's paying who for what and why. Really gets to the heart of the matter. And secondly, that you've got to be very quick to cycle through your ideas and learn. In a sense, fail fast and get on to the next thing.
Those are two dead-on types of comments there. And let's just address the issue of who's paying your bills. I think there were a lot of people that started blogs or other types of media companies thinking that Google Ads would pay their way. That is obviously turning out to be not the case, and in particular in this economic downturn where there's less and less advertising going on, people pulling their money and being very skimpy about where they place their ads. Google has certainly already been hit by that. Now, just think of all the media companies or bloggers that have started up and are failing because they just can't make a go of it. When people ask me or tell me that they're going to start a blog, this could be a geospatial technology vendor that said, hey, we need a blog or we need to be on Twitter. My first comment to them is, who's going to do it and how committed are you to keeping it going? Those are things you've got to answer. And then the other thing is it going to be ad-supported? From a vendor's point of view, their support is obviously going to come from selling product, and you have to be fairly astute with social media to keep it going, and that's a big hurdle for people to get over. Faneuil Media obviously was very committed towards getting it going, and then obviously found that it, from an ad-supported basis, just using Google Ads just wasn't there, and I think there's a lot of people finding that out right now. This is a key example of what is going to be happening, and we're going to see more and more of that.
this is another indication, I think, that we're still trying to figure out what the business model is for integrating location into, in this case, media. But it's that same discussion we had just a second ago about, is location the key thing, or is location sort of an add-on, and how can we connect the two together and still make money? And I think that's a lot of what's going on with the whole idea of bringing location to the media. And even the media is still figuring out, well, how do we bring media to the web and make money on it that's not from advertising?
Well, let's go back for a second on to what the value of location is and how people view location or location-based services as an added value. There is still an awful lot of education that needs to go on about where location plugs into any part of the enterprise solution. And let's just take business intelligence as an example, and I don't want to get too far afield, but the BI vendors still haven't really co-opted location technology as something that they feel is a real benefit to their users. I think it's beginning to be that way, but again, they're coming at it from an enterprise solution, and this is a nice plug-in. And I think that's the view of a lot of these location-based applications, is it's a nice-to-have, not a need-to-have type of a situation.
Right. And I'll, again, not to go too far afield, but I have a perfect example of that. I go to a gym that's less than a mile away from my house, and I sign up every year. And I went down there this year to sign up, and they said, oh, do you work for a company within a mile of the gym? And I said, yes, actually I do. And they said, oh, then you get a discount. And my response to them was, goodness, why have you not communicated with me and every other business that's within a mile of the gym and made us this offer? I'm sure that people would have responded to that. It just didn't, and they were like, oh my goodness, what a great idea. I mean, they came up with the offer, but they didn't make the next step on how to follow through, which was, you know, frankly, a very simple thing to do and a very inexpensive way.
My personal experience, having been involved with a startup company back in the early 2000s in the dot-com boom, location was a central part of the application, which was for a retail solution software company where people had to locate their stores and find out where they were. And it was a difficult sell, even at that point, to say that, well, yeah, you really need maps and you really need spatial analysis. And it just didn't resonate with the people who were listening. These were real estate executives, and it was good. It was nice. It was a nice to have. That was the point. It wasn't a required to have.
Well, let's go on to another not required to have kind of offering. Today we've got all kinds of location based social networks, but one of the first was called Metro, and that launched back in 2005. Paul Bregiel wrote about the startup and its failure. It shut down in 2008. And he basically cites a fundamental location problem being a big challenge for Metro to get up and running. And let me quote him here. The problem we soon found out was that having hundreds of active users in Chicago didn't mean that you would have even two active users in Milwaukee, less than 100 miles away, not to mention any in New York or San Francisco. The software and concept simply didn't scale beyond its physical borders, unquote. So when building these social networks, he concludes with his statement of, if you're gonna succeed in location-based social networking, you're going to succeed with four strategies. And the first one is you've got to have a huge audience, because it's no fun at all to flip on your phone and look for people in your local neighborhood and there's nobody home. Yeah, so they ran smack bang into that challenge. He suggests that social networks need to build out city by city. His third strategy is that, and we've touched on this one before, this idea that location is just one part of the equation. It's not necessarily the key part. And finally, since this startup began in 2005, the technology for locating handsets wasn't where it is today, and they were, in a sense, building their own little skyhook-like location determination solution, which ate up a lot of their time and energy and money. So these days, of course, you can take advantage of something that's already out there.
Well, I think they pointed to a very fundamental problem, which is the infrastructure. It hasn't been until recently that GPS chipsets were automatically embedded into handsets. Now that's coming to be more and more, and I think that as we get through this next evolutionary process of LBS, that other applications, other startups will benefit from this infrastructure, and then we'll be able to see more of the applications that that are more useful. I have tried now Latitude. I've tried at least one application built on Fire Eagle. I have yet to try something like TripIt. I don't find anything. I think that they would be of value. I think I would use them. But as of yet, I've yet to find one of the location-based social networking solutions that are really right for me. That brings up the problem which you discussed, which is who else is on my network, and actually would it be somebody here where I live? Or is it that when I travel, I'm going to find somebody who I think I can link up with? These are really two of those basic problems that I think have yet to be addressed, or people have yet to find a solution for, and make them truly beneficial. And again, it's a location is a secondary component, right?
Yeah, I think you said it. That was just perfect. Yes, it is a secondary consideration in many cases. Let me push that a little further. If I'm traveling to the other side of the world or to a city that I'm not familiar with, meeting somebody who just happens to be in the same hotel is one way to meet somebody. But I can only speak for myself. I'm far more interested in meeting somebody who's a runner or interested in geospatial technology or has something else in common with me first.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think there's even a finer point to be put on that, which is if I'm attending a conference, and we do that a lot these days, I'm more interested in finding people on the show floor who I have an appointment with, but I don't know if they're in their booth or in their hotel or somewhere in the lobby. Okay, now that's an application I think I would be really ready to use.
Right, because that would directly save you time, energy, pain.
Exactly, and route me to that person, that type of an app.
I think what you're suggesting is that we still haven't tapped into the compelling, absolutely compelling, must-have quality some of these location-based services.
Yeah, and it will be stratified, right? We will have a variety of applications, and a couple of these are going to hit on different geographic levels. The application I just described is a very micro-geographic level. I want to know somebody on the show floor. You're talking about a stage where find me somebody within a mile of me who might be of a friendly nature to go running with. That's a kind of a mid-level geography, a kind of a street-level geography. Then there's a more macro level. I'm going to be in Chicago. I'd like to see so-and-so. So there's going to be a stratified nature geographically to some of these other forthcoming LBS apps.
I think that's a really good point. And I think a startup might go after all of those or some of those, but they really need to key it in to the right population that's going to have that kind of problem. So as you just suggested, LinkedIn, which is a business social network, maybe should be a place to offer the kinds of things that strictly business people would be interested in. Well, that's all we're going to say about what we can learn from startups, geospatial, that didn't quite make it. I encourage you to take a look at each of these three articles to learn even more detail about what they learned, what they would change if they had it to do again. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that ARC Logistics Navigator, ESRI's in-vehicle navigation solution, is now available, allowing route planners and dispatchers to provide pre-optimized stops to drivers. ARC Logistics Navigator ensures that the efficiencies created with ARC Logistics Desktop occur as planned in the field. For more information on ARC Logistics Navigator, visit www.esri.com/arclogistics. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast or any other podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.